read Psalm 84. So if you have got a Bible, if you want to turn to Psalm 84. And this is David actually going to, well, they believe it's David who wrote this psalm, or some people think it was David that wrote this psalm as he was fleeing from his son who'd taken over the throne. So David had ran with some of his family and escaped. And he was asking God if it's God's will, if God's raising his son up to take over from him, then let it be. But if not, he said, I will go back. But this Psalm 84, it says this. How lovely are your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns and faints for your courts, O Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home and a swallow nests for herself, where she may rear her young, a place near your altar. O Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are forever praising you. And then there's a pause there. And then verse 5, it says this. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. In autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, O God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. And there's another pause. And then verse 9 says this. Look upon the shield, O Lord. Look upon our shield, O Lord. Look with favour on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand anywhere else. I would rather be the doorkeeper in your house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favour and honour, and no good thing does he withhold from those who walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in God. We've just had a few people saying about trusting God, of starting afresh, putting it out there, being straight with God. And it's interesting through this psalm, it splits it up into three parts. The first part is talking about spending time in the house of God. The last part is talking about spending time in the presence of God, in the house of God. So you've got these two bookends, and in the center, you've got this little thing that doesn't quite seem to fit. And yet when you put it into its context, this is a guy that has been taken away from the place of worship and is now walking in the desert, and he's longing to be back in the presence of God, where the people of God are. Now, for us, we could just say, it's me and God, and God's with us always. But there's something special, something different about when two or three meet together, when four and five and six, when people come together, and it makes a difference. There's a couple of people I've met this week, one from Stoke and one from Glasgow, who I've known for a long time. It was really interesting because I'll point out to Ethan, these two men were talking. I said, see that guy there? He led Grandad to the Lord. And I said, you see that man he's talking to him? He said, yeah. I said, he led me to the Lord. So he led me dad to the Lord, and the other one led me to the Lord. And these are guys I've known for a long time, but I've not seen them. One I'd not seen for 6 months, the other I'd not seen for at least 6 years. And yet, as we talked, we sparked off together. It was like it never been apart. Because I love their company because they taught Jesus. And yet for some people, they're not that bothered if they taught Jesus or taught something else. Some people spend more time doing things that are not got, that don't have eternal value than spending time with God. It's interesting that he said, I would rather spend one day in your presence is better than a thousand anywhere else. It's better. So imagine your best day, and yet the writer here said, I would rather spend one day in church than a thousand doing your best day, a thousand of your best days. That's nearly 3 years, if the sums are right, calculated out. But he said, I would rather be a doorkeeper than go anywhere else. He'd rather stand at the back welcoming people, not the front, but at the back, welcoming people in than anywhere else. He would rather there, but for us, because we get so familiar with the things of God, that we can sometimes forget how awesome the church is as a people, as a group of people, as God's bride-to-be. That's what God's got for us. And yet we can forget because we just, it's like, it's church. It's just church. It don't really matter. And yet for God, it's important. But those are the two bookends. But in between that, he says, blessed are those whose strength is in you. Now remember that his strength is in you, not in the pastor. So your strength is not in me. It's not in our friends, our spouses, our whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on a pilgrimage. Now you've got to look at that. Pilgrimage means traveling. And it's interesting what John says, that Jesus is coming back. He said this morning, Jesus is coming back. And we're only pilgrims through this life. When you get saved, this is no longer our home. Heaven is our home, and we're only passing through. Yet sometimes we set up camp on the wrong side of where we're going. Some of us, like I'll take the analogy from this month, the plane is taking us somewhere else, and yet we're in the airport, yet we're not getting on the plane. We're camping. We're living in the duty-free. And yet there's so much more going ahead. And yet we're happy there. And he says, we need to find strength. Blessed are those who find strength in you, who have set their hearts on being a pilgrimage or are on a pilgrimage through his life. When you're on a pilgrimage, you don't carry that much stuff. When you're walking, you only carry the essentials. You don't carry rubbish. You carry what's important. And we need to carry what's important. What's important to God is a fact of what's on his heart, not always what's on our heart. We should be carrying what's important to Jesus, not what's that's important to us. Now, there's nothing wrong with having a car and a home and a job, and these are all important things in the now, but in light of eternity, when we all get to heaven, we're not going to look back and say, you know, well, I had this sort of car. I had this size house. It don't matter in the light of eternity, but the useful tools to have here. He says, as they pass through the valley of Baca. Now, I'm going to put this on the thing that Baca is, the word there is translated different things, but it often means, or they think it means, the place of weeping. And they're not sure if it's a fictitious place or literally a place. So putting that aside, but he's talking about as they pass through the valley of Baca, the valley of weeping, that they make it a place of springs. It's talking about being in a dry desert place. And I think there's a play on words going on here, because of those who go through weeping, they will make it a place of springs. Almost their tears, as their tears fall, it makes it a place of springs. Now, guys, if you've been saved more than a short time, you'll realize there's going to come times of mourning or weeping before God. If you're not weeping for your own sin, then you're going to be miserable at other people's sins. And Jeremiah cried for other people's sins. David cried for his own sins. Jesus wept for us lot. And yet, sometimes we need to understand that the journey that God's got for us, the pilgrimage that God has for us, is not happy, happy. It's always going to be happy. Even though we can walk through life going, I'm H-A-P-P-Y. I'm H-A-P-P-Y. I know I am. I'm sure I am. I'm H-A-P-P-Y. And it's okay to a point, but there comes times when we actually got to shed the tears. If Jesus shed the tears, then sometimes it may be up for us to shed the tears, whether that's in worship or over people. I mean, when was the last time you really grappled in prayer over other people and it caused you to that point where you felt pain in your heart for them? Because God feels pain in his heart towards people who reject him, who turn away from him. But it's often said that, you know, this place of Baca, it's a place of weeping. But also, the word, it can be translated, they make it into a place of springs. It can also, the word spring there could be translated, they make it into a place of joy. So they come from one, a place of mourning, into a place of joy. So I've got to find me a little marker. That's part of my sermon. I'll find the other part of my sermon. I think this is it here. Right, Psalm 30 and verse 5. It says, talking about God, that his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. You see, those whose strength is in God may mourn or cry for a night, but in the morning, they can rejoice. Now, let's be honest, some nights just go a lot longer than 24 hours. Your mourning may be for a time, but rejoicing always comes. It always comes. Now, if you've been on the path a long time, you'll have seen this come round and round and round. But there's a time of sadness, a time of celebration. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't rejoice in the sad times. We can. We can choose to rejoice. I said a couple of weeks ago that in a storm, we still have a voice and we still have a choice. We can choose to praise God and we can use our voices to praise God. Even in the darkest times, we can rejoice God. Psalm 46 says this. It says, God is my refuge and my strength, my ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam and the mountains quake as they stir. We won't give in to fear when everything goes wrong. Sometimes our fear grips us so much because we take our eyes off the fact that we're passing through. We're worried about maybe our pensions or our jobs or our lives or what's going on around us, and yet we're just passing through. And even if there is storms going on around us, if you've got peace in your heart, you can do the Titanic. You can stand up at front and raise your hands. Bring it on if you've got peace in your heart. But if you haven't got a peace there, you're just going to be whipped around like everybody else. Psalm 91, it's a great psalm. If anyone's into psalms, it's a great psalm. And it's a great encouraging psalm. But it says this, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, that's verse 1, will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. He is my strength and my fortress. You know, when you're growing up, your dad tends to be your strength and your fortress, the one that you run to. But as you get as big as he is, it kind of becomes almost like not quite sure. And why is it maybe it was just me. When I were a kid, I'd do silly things. I'd be out there climbing trees and I'd fall. And one time I fell and broke my arm. And the hospital was only down the road, but I went all the way home for them to take me to the hospital with a broken arm. I fell over and I split my hand open and I run for about 3 miles with my hand bleeding. It was hurting, but by the time I got home, it stopped bleeding. It stopped hurting, so I walked back. Why is it that I needed to get home? Because that home was a place of safety. Why is it you can be married for 10 years and you still talk home as a place you once lived? Because it's got a sense of safety around it. And yet our home is ahead of us. But Jesus is within us. And he is our strength. And he is, it says, he that dwells in the shadow of the Most High, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, who rests in the shadow of the Almighty. He that chooses or she that chooses to spend time with God, they will say of the Lord, he is my strength and my refuge, my fortress in great times. Those that spend time with God find out that God is their fortress. Not those who have problems and go, I better get to church and pray. Because the building itself is not going to protect you. It's just a building. It's the one that dwells with us, is our strength and our refuge. And then if you run down to verse 9, in that same thing, it says, if you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord is my refuge, then no harm will befall you and no disaster will come near your tent. It doesn't say there won't be trouble, but in the trouble, it won't become a disaster. It's interesting talking to people these days when they say to you, my life's just a disaster. And you look up thinking, no, it's not. But to them, it is, because their perspective is all a bit skewed. But the person that makes the Most High his dwelling, even the Lord is his refuge. The one that chooses to spend time with Jesus, the one that spends time with God, the Lord will become his refuge. Then no harm will befall him, and no disaster will come near him. You see, it's an interesting verse, that, because sometimes things happen, and it will affect you on the outside. But on the inside, you can take strength in God, but it won't affect you on the inside. And if the inside is strong, even though there's mourning and tears from the eyes because of the outside, if the inside's strong, you'll keep going. You'll keep on pilgrimaging. You'll keep on walking the course that God's got for you. But then if you get right to the end, verse 14 of chapter 91, this is Psalms again. Psalm 91, verse 14. This is an amazing. So those who dwell, he that chooses to make the Lord house, the Lord his dwelling. Verse 14 says, this is God speaking back to the psalmist. Because he loves me, says the Lord, because this person loves me and keeps me at the forefront, because this person loves me and has put Jesus at the center of all things, and that they're running after you, because we love him, this is what God said he's going to do. I will rescue him, not the pastor, not the elders, not the deacons. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him. For he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him for with long life. And I will satisfy him and show favor upon him in my salvation. Do you get the all eyes? God says, I will do this. I will do it. So I will rescue him. I will protect him. I will answer him. I will be with him. I will deliver him and honor him. Why does God do that? Because the person who's doing it to him but loves him. And because we love him, it's because we put him at the center of all things, that we're dwelling with him, that we're standing with him. You see, you jump into Ephesians 6 and it talks about walking in the armor of God, and we like that. We like the idea of being equipped. We like the idea of having the armor of God on us, of a sword and a shield and march out and fighting the good fight. We like that sort of thing. But I've realized over time, I'd rather, instead of me doing the fighting, even though I've got to do the fighting, have the protection with me. See, it's okay going into a fight. If it's one-on-one, you might have a chance of winning. But if you're fighting 10-1, it's not very good. Unless you've got a bigger dad than they've got a dad. Unless your dad's bigger than their dad, then they run. Now, I know we've got the name of Jesus, we're covered in the blood, we've got the angels, we've got the Holy Spirit with us. But knowing that we dwell in the shelter of the Most High gives us strength. So on a Monday morning, we can walk into work with our head held high. We can go into school or wherever, knowing that we are loved by God, that we can stand because our strength is not in us, it's in him. We're talking today with hope. And it's interesting that when we are in the areas of our lives where we are strong, then we don't really need God in those areas. But in our weak areas is when we need him more than ever. So don't be ashamed of your weaknesses, because that's when we are weak, then we are strong. And our strengths are not really that strong, really, compared to God. It always makes me laugh when you see parents arm wrestling with the kids, and the kids are 5 and 6, and the dad's there going, oh, not quite letting them win every time, but the kid thinks it's strong, but it's not. And we've got to keep in mind, when it comes between God and Jesus and the devil, they're not equals. It's not like, you know, they're equals at a level. Jesus is God Almighty. Devil is created. The devil's more equal, in a sense, to attack us. Because when Jesus stands up, all heaven shuts up. When Jesus gets his attention on somebody, it's like, what's going to happen here? And yet, if we dwell in the shelter of the Most High, and that we acknowledge God and we love God, then the Lord says, I will rescue him. I will protect him. For he acknowledges my name. And he will call upon me, and I love that one. Guys, if you ever need a verse for knowing that God answers your prayers, it's this one. So put make God your center of attention. And he says this, he will call upon me and I will answer him. Psalm 23 is an amazing psalm. We all, you know, we have it every now and then. You often go to places where they read it, but we forget how many eyes are in there, what God will do. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down. He does this, he does that. Even though I walk through a valley of, even though I walk through a valley of a shadow of death, I will not fear because his rod and his staff, it comforts me. He's the one that makes the table. He's the one that gives me rest. He's the one who actually comforts and gives me favor. All I've got to do is keep out of the valley of the shadow of death and keep at the center of all things Jesus. I think that's a bit too simple. So let's continue on our pilgrimage. Keeping our eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Knowing that everything in this world will one day pass away. And the only thing that we're going to have when we get there is what we've sent ahead of us and the people we've taken with us. You can't take your car with you, even though cars are fine. You can take people with you and things you've sent ahead of you. It's good to have a pension, but your eternal pension has got more value because it's going to last a lot longer than 30 years when you retire. So let me suggest to you that you make he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, who rests in the shadow of the Almighty. When you go through those times of weeping, remember to continue to stay in the shelter of the Most High. Instead of running out, thinking it's all going to be easier, because you've just got to come back and work it through. Amen.